Okay, good morning, everyone. This is very exciting. We conclude today our studies of Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Ezra, Nehemiah. So we'll have accomplished 5 books this year. Obviously, they're shorter books. It makes it a little easier, but it's still an enormous accomplishment. Really studying an entire subject matter, an entire topic of the Jewish people's return to Eretz Yisrael, launching the time period of Bayis Sheni, and again after Pesach, we'll have to figure out what we're going to do. Next week, we'll do Haggadah, related issues, or we'll tie a little bow on this. I'm not 100% sure, but we will have class next Thursday. Okay, today's class is really divided into four topics, and we're going to try to go through each one of them quickly, but not too quickly, to help us understand. Number one is furthering our discussion of intermarriage that we referenced slightly last week. The other is talking about Tzadik V'Ra'lo, why bad things happen to good people, good things happen to bad people, but really why bad things happen to good people. We're going to talk a little bit about cutting corners to advance yourself economically. And last but not least, we're going to talk about the end of Sefer Malachi, which there are no coincidences in Judaism, but just happens to be the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol. So not this week, but next week when we're sitting in shul on Shabbos HaGadol. And ordinarily we would tune out. This year we're going to be focused and we're going to have a greater appreciation for why Sefer Malachi ends the way that it does. And perhaps we'll discuss at the end why that was chosen as the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol. So that we're all going to do today. So if you open up your sheet, we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 10. Says the Navi. Remember, in the beginning, a lot of it was railing against the Kohanim. Now he shifts his focus to the concept of intermarriage. As you remember, this was one of the topics that was discussed at length by both Ezra and Nehemiah, which is one of the reasons why Chazal date Malachi to the time period of Ezra and Nehemiah, because of the topics that correspond to each other. Says Malachi, chapter 2, verse 10. Halo ave echad lekulanu. Halo el echad baranu. We all have one father. Who's this father talking about? Well, it's talking about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. We all come from the same descendants. Who's talking if that's the case? Who's the person talking right now? Halo ave echad lekulanu. Halo el echad baranu. Madua nivgad ish be'achiv lechalel bris avasenu. Why are we desecrating the covenant that was made with Hashem? Now, if you read it the way I think you and I would read it, Rashi says, bris shekaris HaKadosh Baruch Hu im avasenu besinai. That God had established a covenant with the Jewish people at Har Sinai. Halo ave echad lekulanu. We all have one father, Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, we come from the same descendants. And if that's the case, so why do we desecrate that covenant? Radak says, Atashev lehochicha manavi alavera acheres, shanasu nashim nachrios. Now the Navi turns his focus to this concept of intermarriage, which we've been discussing, says Radak, in Ezra. And he describes that not only was there intermarriage, but that they married two wives, the Jewish wife and their non-Jewish wife, and they loved the non-Jewish wife more than the Jewish wife. It was a whole balagan. That's one way to read it, and I think that is overwhelmingly the pshat in how you read it. Interestingly enough, the Abarbanel understands it a little bit differently. And the Abarbanel understands it as saying, halo ave echad lekulanu. It's not that the Navi is talking here to the Jewish people, but it's the those who chose to intermarry are talking to the Navi. What's so bad about what we're doing? Halo av echad lekulanu. The av here is not Avram, Yitzchak, or Yaakov. Who's the av? The av is Hashem. The av is Adam Arishon. One could very easily fit this narrative into a universalistic way of speaking, where we say we are all the descendants of Adam and Eve. Why do you have to differentiate? Why do you Jews have to be any better, any different? Isn't the notion of anti-intermarriage, isn't that so particularistic? Doesn't that put you on a pedestal? Do you think you're any better or worse than any other human beings? So Abarbanel says, Halo Avechad Lekulanu is them talking to Malachi and saying, why do you think it's so bad that we are marrying people of other faiths? Halo Avechad Lekulanu, we all have the same parents. We all descend of Adam and Eve. We're all created in the image of God. And again, you hear that discussion, you hear that rhetoric, even to this day. Why are Jews any different? Why do you think you're any different? Why do you think you hold yourself to a higher standard? We all come from Adam and Eve. We all are members of the same tribe, essentially. Right? So two different ways of reading it. Overwhelmingly, the Mefarshim, they'll read it the other way, which is that this is Malachi looking at those who are intermarried and say, how could you do this? You have entered into a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. You come from the same descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How can you reject God this way? Bagda Yehuda. Bagad means you are betrayed, you're a traitor. V'toeva nasa b'Yisrael v'Yishalayim. You've made a desecration. Ki chilel Yehuda kodesh Adonai asher ahev u'bal bas el nechar. What does that mean? Baal bas el nechar. You have intermarried, but with who? But el nechar, with foreign gods. In other words, he's calling it as it is. Don't think that you're marrying Sally. What you're really marrying, Sally being the non-Jew here, what you're really marrying is the God, right? There's an alien God here. In other words, it's a defilement of God himself when you go in intermarriage. Yachret Adonai l'isha asher yasena. God will cut off the person who does this. Er ve'one me'elohei Yaakov u'magish mincha la'adonai tzvot. What's er ve'ona? Er ve'one? Those words should sound somewhat familiar to us. If I had a chumash here, it would be even more helpful. But who does that sound a lot like? Er ve'ona, who is? The children of Yehuda. Right, Yehuda and Tamar, that whole episode, the children there that die, episode of Yehuda and Tamar are Er Ve'ona. And so it's no coincidence that the pasuk that starts off, Bagda Yehuda, Yehuda, you have rebelled against me, Er Ve'one me'ahale Yaakov u'magish mincha la'adonai tzvaot, right, you're going to be cut off. Who are you going to be cut off just like? You're going to, just like Er Ve'ona had to be cut off because of their sins, so too, says Hashem, you will be cut off for your sins. V'zos she'nis tasu kasus dimas mizbeach anai b'chi ve'anaka. It's even worse than that. Not only did you marry, but you filled my mizbeach with tears. Me'ein od penos el mincha v'lakacha ratzon miyadchem. Almost like there's no more room for me to bring my korbanos because of all the tears that are filling my mizbeach, right? Metzudas David writes, "Rotzalomer milvad habizayon sheasitem lemizbeach." It's bad enough that you made a bizayon, that you made an embarrassment to my mizbeach. We read about that last week. O davar shenit, even on top of that, bebizayon mizbeach b'mashal yedechem mechased dimas mizbeach haranai. Even worse is that you filled my mizbeach with tears. Ve'amartem. And you said, Alma, for what? Al ki Adonai he'id beincha uvein eshes neurecha, asherata bagarata ba, vihicha ve'ertecha, ve'eshes brisecha, all because you rejected the eshes neurecha, the wife of your child, of your youth. If you recall when Rabbi Angel was here a few weeks ago, he spoke about these psukim, the wife of your youth that you have rejected. Velo echad ushar ruach. Where am I going till? Yeah. Velo echad asa ushar ruach lo. Uma echad mevakesh zer elohim. He continues on. Radak says, Velo echad asa. Avram shaya echad. Ve'av l'chol abaim. Avram, who is one, be'emunaso lo asa kamo she'atem osim. Avram never acted the way you acted. Ki lo radaf achar hatava. What does it mean, right? Uma echad mevakesh zer elohim. Right? Avram never acted out of desire. V'lo ba'al afilu besara ela kedei lahashir zer Elohim. Everything that Avram did was to perpetuate the Jewish people, was to create descendants that would follow Hashem. Kelomar shetziva Elohim yisbarach lahashir zera. Kemo shamru peruavu. Avram engaged in marital relationships, but he did it for one purpose. And that was solely so that there would be people to serve Hashem. But what do? The opposite. You, uve'eshes nurecha al yivgod. He never rejected the wife of his youth. But you guys, what are you following? Radaf acharatava. You're simply going after your desires. You're doing what's most convenient for you. And again, that's how the pasuk continues. Ki sanei shalach. Rashi says, I'm sorry, Mesudas David writes, im sanesosa ad shalotucha la tos ritzonecha shalachosa. In other words, if you want to reject her, reject her. But what's the worst thing to do to her? To keep her in the marriage and not be faithful to her. It's almost like the Navi is saying, if you don't like me, get rid of me. But you know what's even more chutzpahdik? Is to not like me, but to hold me captive in this marriage. That's what the Navi is saying. He's essentially saying to the Jewish people, if you really want to reject Hashem, then reject Hashem. But if you want to maintain that relationship with Hashem, then you have to give up that which is a desecration to Hashem in return back to Him. In other words, the relationship is not completely severed, but the relationship is frayed. There has been an unfaithfulness in the relationship. You have had an affair on Hashem. And so Hashem comes back to the Jewish people and says, I'm not severing the relationship. Just hold on 1 second. Close the door. Right? I'm not severing the relationship. Sorry, you can ask the people in the office. I get very sensitive to background noise. That's why my door is always closed. Right? So Hashem says, I'm not severing the relationship, but there's been an affair here. And so make a decision. Either reject me and choose your other wife, or return to me and come back to me. That is part number one of today. Why is intermarriage such a big deal? Ezra, Nehemiah, Malachi, driving it home over and over again. Almost nowhere else in Tanakh, by the way, do you see such an opposition to intermarriage. Obviously, we know from the Torah that it's wrong, but you don't see the Nevi'im. When we think about what the Nevi'im rail against, it's rarely intermarriage. Why specifically in this time period, Ezra, Nehemiah, Malachi, are they so opposed to it? So number one is just historically. Historically, we know from the book of Nehemiah that there was challenges with economic imbalance. That there were those who were very wealthy, those who were not, and there was people who were abusing that system. One of the ways to increase your economic mobility is by marrying up. Right? What's her name? Meghan Merkel. Right? She was a nobody. All of a sudden, she marries Prince Harry, and now she's a Grace Knocker. Right? So that's one of the ways. If you're a lowly economic state, one of the ways that you improve is by marrying up. Upward mobility. So that's one reason. The other reason is, coming back to actually a mission in Pirkei Avos that I would suggest. Mission Pirkei Avos says, Al ti rasha b'fnei atzmecha. You shouldn't be a wicked person in your own eyes. And the Mefarshim explain what's wrong with being wicked in your own eyes. Isn't that what we're supposed to? I spoke about it at the Parsha class this week. Aren't we supposed to have a little bit of self-criticism? So the commentaries explain that if you're a rasha in your own eyes, if you're wicked in your own eyes, what are you going to say to yourself? I'm already bad enough. God has already rejected me. So what does He care if I behave in a certain way? My actions no longer matter to Hashem. What does He care? That's catastrophic, obviously. One of the ways that we have a certain expectation of the way we behave is we say, God does care how I act. God does care how I behave. And so the Mishnah warns us, Al ti rasha b'fnei atzmecha. Don't be wicked in your own eyes, because if you are, the floodgates are going to open and you're just going to continue to act badly. We want to believe that Hashem cares about how we behave. And so perhaps one of the reasons why in the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, certainly Malachi, that they're so opposed to intermarriage is because what were the people feeling at that time? Well, the people were feeling rejected against by Hashem. That was the beginning of Sefer Malachi. When Malachi says, Ahavti Eschem, right? And you said, Bama Avtanu, but do you really love us, Hashem? Now, if the Jewish people felt rejected by Hashem, what's a natural outgrowth of that? If God rejected me, if God, so to speak, canceled the covenant with me, then what does he care what I do? And so part of the Nevi'im convincing the Jewish people that Hashem still loves them is a reminder that because Hashem still loves you, that original covenant with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, remember, Av Echad L'Kulanu, we all have one father. Because we all have one father, Hashem hasn't given up on this relationship. And therefore, neither should you. So intermarriage in and of itself, obviously, is not spoken about by other Nevi'im. And perhaps the reason why it's picked on over here, specifically at this time period, is because they were feeling rejected by Hashem. Remember, we're about a century after the beginning of the book of Ezra. So all of that euphoria, all of that excitement, all of those messianic anticipation that we had at the beginning of Ezra, that's long gone. At this point, all of that stalled, and all of the excitement, and all of those hopes that Zerubbabel would be Mashiach, that's all gone. The people feel rejected. And so you kind of say, "If Hashem, if you rejected me, all bets are off. I can do whatever I want." And so therefore, the Nevi'im are coming back. Part of their argument to the Jewish people is that Hashem still loves you. And because Hashem still loves you, don't give up on that relationship either. Don't completely sever the relationship with Hashem. Think about the terminology that's used. The terminology is of an unfaithful wife. Unfaithful wife, you're still married to her. The relationship is frayed, but you're still married to her. And so what Hashem is essentially imploring the Jewish people of is, I understand that you feel so distanced from me and that you feel that there's been an affair in the relationship, but I haven't cut that relationship off yet. Who is that in the hands of? That's in the hands of you. Remember, he pivots immediately to intermarriage. Only you can decide whether this relationship is going to be eternally severed or whether this is just going to be a bump in the road, but we can come back to one another. Remember, Rabbi Angel was talking about, he spoke about how if a couple gets divorced, so you can't just take her back. It's not so simple. But if there's just been an affair, you can forgive an affair. That's exactly the terminology is being used here. Hashem says, don't divorce me, because once we're divorced, we can never come back. What's better? There's been a bump in the road, but we can repair that. That is all point number one. That is in terms of intermarriage. And again, I think it fits the narrative. Something we're going to talk about a lot today, which is, who is Malachi? Malachi is the last of the Nevi'im. This is the final prophecy that the Jewish people will ever hear until hopefully the times of Mashiach, when I don't know if prophecy will be restored. But it's the final prophecy. What greater message of Hashem to the Jewish people than saying, I know that there's a bump in our relationship, but don't think that it's been severed. I haven't cut it off. You shouldn't cut it off either. That's the way Hashem's going to send us into many thousands of years of exile. That's point number one. Point number two starts in Pasuk Yud Zayin, where the Navi addresses the following issue. It's heart-wrenching to hear, but also very real, and I think will speak to many of us. Hogatem Adonai bedabrechem ve'amartem b'meh hoganu. Right? You have tired of me. Mitzvah Siyo says, Aifut, you've grown tired of me. Why have I grown tired of you? Ba'amrechem kol osei ra tov b'ine Adonai. What do they say? All those who do bad in God's eyes, good things happen to them. Or they say, or they say, where's God's judgment? Rashi says, you see the wicked people are successful, and the righteous people, bad things are happening to them. Omrim, what do you say to yourself? Omrim atem b'livavchem. Echa mishnei drachim halalu. You say one of two things has to be. Either kolo seira tov be'inav, either God likes those who are doing wicked, or ein din ve'ein dayin, or there's no justice, there's no righteousness in this world. And so they question God's sense of divine judgment. They say to themselves, here we were faithful to you, and we the Jewish people, and look how we're being treated. And all around us, the Persians, they're having these successful reigns. So what does Hashem say? Chapter 3, Hineni sholeach malachi, I'm going to send malachi to you, ufina derech lefanai, upitom yavo helechalo. Pitom means what?
Suddenly.
It's going to happen like that. Upitom yavo el hechalo. If I believe in the beginning of Kinos, we use this word, that it happened pitom. Now, one of the things that was so striking to the Jewish people was how suddenly things flipped. Well, the same way they flip for bad, they also flip for good, says the Navi. Upitom yavo el hechalo adon asher atem mevakshim umalach habrit asher atem chafetzim hineba amar anaitzvot. Who's malachi going to come with? The Malach HaBrit. Who's the Malach HaBrit? Well, we don't know. But we do know who comes to our brises. Eliyahu. Why does Eliyahu come to our bris? Because he questioned the Jewish people whether or not they were going to be faithful to Hashem. And Hashem said, as a punishment, you have to come to every bris. So perhaps that's the Malach HaBrit. That's what the Ma'ari Krah says. And he says it based on what we're going to read in a couple of minutes at the end of Sefer Malachi, where the Navi is going to tell us, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem Es Eliyahu Anavi. So the Ma'ari Krah says over there, that's the same angel that's being sent that we're talking about over here. So Malachi is going to come with Eliyahu Anavi. Umi Michalkel Es Yom Bo'o. No, Yisbol. Who's going to be able to tolerate? In other words, you're not even going to be able to believe this day. You're not even going to be able to see. In other words, it's going to be so amazing this day. Essentially, it's like a blacksmith who, when they work on the with the fire, so they polish the silver. They make it even more refined. Vayashav mitzarefu mitaher kesef v'tiheres b'nei Levi v'zikako sam kizahav v'cha kesef. Hashem's going to refine us. In other words, it's not going to be pretty. It's going to be like esh mitzaref, fire. So we know that fire can burn or fire can improve. It can refine. That's the imagery. When Mashiach comes, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, it's not going to always be easy. But you will be refined through the process. You'll be like gold and silver. V'hayu l'Adonai magishei mincha bitztaka. And again, you'll be appropriate. You'll be perfect to bring back the korbanos. You'll be refined. Mitzudah Sion says kedasu karoi. Now you'll be appropriate to come before Hashem. Radak says masha'in kein kohanei ador hazeh. Right. Think about. Remember how we started off. Railing against the Kohanim who are defiling the Korbanos. How are we going to be once Mashiach comes? We're going to be like V'tiharas B'nei Levi. This process of the redemption is going to refine the Kohanim. And he's telling this to the people who have gone down so low. V'arva l'Adonai mincha Yehuda v'Yishalayim kimei olam u'kshanim kadmanios, a pasuk that we say at the end of our Shemona Esrei, but that Hashem will once again want us, just like He wanted us all the way back in the earlier times. Not only that, says Hashem, v'karavti aleichem la'mishpat v'ayisi eid mimaher. I will call you to judgment, and I will be an eid mimaher. What does that mean? Usually, in judgment, how are we? Do we rush to judgment? No, we're deliberate. We have witnesses, there has to be warning, there's a deliberate process because we don't want to judge people. Here, Hashem says, who am I? I am the judge, and not only am I a judge, I'm an aid mimaher.
Hurry up.
Hurry up. Mitzudas David says, what that means is, ordinarily there's a process to judgment, but when Hashem does it, bam, it could happen like that. And who's He going to judge? b'mechashvim, b'minafim, the sorcerers, those who are adulterers, b'nishba'im, l'sheker, those who swore against me falsely, u'voshkeis, sechar, sachir, amanavi, asom, umateger, those who abuse the widows and the orphans and the convert, v'lo yire'uni, and they did not fear me. Mitzudas David says something beautifully. He says, all those people, the only reason they do what they do is because they don't fear me. In other words, if you had fear of God, you would never mistreat the widows and the orphans and the converts. If you had a fear of God, you would never subscribe to sorcery. You would never fall prey to adultery. Right? All of these people, they didn't fear God. And he says, V'hine gam me'ashem lo yiru, im kihu ro'eh hakol v'yodeh talu mosleiv. They forgot that who, right, to double play on the words. Who's, they don't see me, but I see everything. Right? I am God. I know everything that happens. I know the innermost workings of everyone's house, of everyone's heart. V'lachem eshalem lahem gemul hamaseh. And therefore, I will pay them back. Schar v'onesh. Reward and punishment, Hashem says. So what's he doing? These people come to Hashem and they said, why should we believe you, Hashem? Why should we believe that you have not forsaken us? After all, we are your chosen people. And look how we're being treated and look how they're being treated. And so Hashem comes to them and builds them up and says, don't worry. There'll come a time, I'm going to send Malachi, Eliyahu, Malach, Habris. I'm going to come and I personally, V'hayisi eid m'maher, I will be the witness. It will be a very quick judgment. And all of those people that were successful because they wronged me will all of a sudden be wiped out and destroyed. That's exact. So Hashem is building them up. He's answering their questions. He continues on. Ki ani Adonai, pasuk vav, ki, 6. Ki ani Adonai lo shaniti, ve'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilitem. What a beautiful pasuk. I am Hashem. What does lo shaniti mean? I didn't change. I didn't change. Think about a conversation between a husband and a wife. The wife comes to the husband and says, I can't believe you were unfaithful to me. And the husband comes back and says, well, this, you stop. And she says back to him, I didn't change. Which means who changed? You changed. I'm still the same. I'm still the person who fell in love with you all those years ago. Who changed? You. You're the one that changed. So that's what Hashem says to the Jewish people. Remember, this is the conversation we've been having the whole time. The Jewish people feel that Hashem abandoned them. The Jewish people feel that Hashem changed the rules of engagement. We were supposed to be the chosen people. Hashem comes back to them and says, Ani Hashem lo shanisi. I didn't change. Who changed? You. You, the Jewish people. Someone posted this on Facebook this year. I thought it was so insightful. We talk about growing distant from Hashem. That over the year, we grow distant from Hashem, and on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we come close to Hashem. Who's the one who moves in the relationship? It's not God who moves. So if a distance is growing between us and Hashem, it's because of what? Because we have distanced ourselves. Hashem doesn't distance himself from us. He does that as a response to us, maybe. He allows it to happen. But Ani Hashem lo shanisi, Hashem says, I don't move. If you're growing distant from me, it's because of your actions. So once again, Hashem puts it back on the Jewish people. But what does he say? V'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chilisem. You, the Jewish people, have not been? Chliya. You have not been wiped out. What is the greatest testimony of Hashem's love for us? That we're still here. In other words, Hashem said, if I really wanted to get rid of you, I could have done it a long time ago. I did it to the Romans and the Persians and the Greeks. I've gotten rid of a lot of people. The fact that you're still here shows that there hasn't been that divorce, that we haven't severed that relationship in a way that it can't be repaired. So that's what, it's a beautiful pasuk. I, Hashem, have not changed. You changed. And you want to show, you want me to show you that I still love you? You're still around. I still kept you around. From the days of your forefathers, you have distanced yourself from my desires. You haven't guarded them. Shuvu elai ve'ashuva aleichem, amar Adonai Tzvot. All you have to do is shuvu elai. Return to me a little bit, ve'ashuva aleichem. And I will return back to you. Ve'amartem, ba'meh nashuv. And you asked, with what should we return? It shows the...
Also, they don't know what to do.
Again, picture a conversation where the wife says, all you have to do is show me that you want it a little bit. And he kind of says, I don't know. How does that make the conversation go? That makes the conversation go a lot worse, right? The worst thing you could do at that point is say, well, I don't even care. I don't even know what's wrong here. So you said, Bamana shuv. So what does Hashem say in response? Hashem says, Ha'ikba adam Elohim, ki atem kovimoti ve'amartem b'makvanucha, Hamaser v'atruma. Hashem says, you've stolen from me. How have you stolen from me? You don't give truma and maaser. Now, is truma and maaser so bad? The answer is maybe, maybe not. But what's the point? Is that they were so obsessed with advancing economically that what do they do in the process? They cut corners religiously. Right? They worked on Shabbos because they were afraid of losing their job. I mean, we could all think of modern day examples of this. But that's what Hashem essentially says. You have, again, essentially, because of this sin, I have cursed you. Pasuk Yud, a beautiful pasuk. All you have to do is tithe. In other words, put in a little effort. One of my favorite psukim, Hashem says, if you come, test me. Give me a test. If you bring maser, then what will I do? Imlo, Mitzudas David says, inyan shvua. It's like a promise. Hashem says, if you give maser, if you tithe, if you put in the effort, so what will I do? Eftach lachem et arubot hashamayim. I will open up for you. What's arubot? The windows of the sky. Where do we have that word? By the flood. Right? I'm going to picture the flood. So that's what Hashem says. Instead of water, though, I'm going to rain down on you goodness. Vari kosem lachem bracha ad bli dai. And I'm going to fill you up with blessing ad bli dai means
no end.
No end. Now, where do we say this? I believe we say it. There are a few. I believe we say it on the Perek of Tehillim, right at, I think it's Kol Nidre night. There's a Perek of Tehillim we say after Shmon Esrei. We say the same Perek of Tehillim that we say on Sunday mornings. And in there, I believe there's an asterisk in the art scroll Siddurim where it gives a mystical prayer, and in there it uses this pasuk of Arikosam Lachem Bracha Ad Bli Dai, I believe. And if I'm not mistaken, when the Hasidim say that pasuk, they say it over and over. There's a whole song. Arikosam Lachem Bracha Ad Bli Dai, Dai, Dai. Why do they do it? Because that's what we want from Hashem. That's what we're davening to Hashem for. What's the Perek HaTehillim that we say? Give me a second, I'll find a few, because it's in our Siddur. What's the Perek HaTehillim? And you'll see why it fits. It's the Perek HaTehillim for Sunday. Yisa bracha me'eis Hashem utzdakam Elohei Yisho. Right, what do we say? Yisa bracha, that we should receive blessing from Hashem and righteousness from His salvation. So I believe in that point, in that pasuk, when we say that, that's when we say, I believe. I have to look in a machzer, but I believe that's where it is. But anyways, that's this pasuk. It's a beautiful imagery. The Malbim says, "Ki birchas hashamayim yesh la gvul behechrech shebevoad gvul hu yomer dai." Nature has boundaries, but ava birchas Hashem, but a bracha from Hashem, shehi al pi neis, that is above nature, ein la gvul v'yomer la dai. Hashem doesn't have to say end. Kitosi v'telech lein ketz. It can go on forever. Aval ein zet nisayon, rak bechina. What's a bechina? It's a test. It's a test. Ki hu me'otzar Hashem shesham ein ze lemala mikocho. Right, what's the test? Aser bishvil shetitaser, we say in the Torah. That if you can test Hashem, you're never allowed to test Hashem except for in this instance. And what's the test? You can give maser and test Hashem that he'll pay you back for it. It belongs to Hashem. That's this pasuk. Hashem says, test me. Bring this maser, test me, both fulfill my will and give tzedakah essentially. And ve'eftach lachem et arubot hashamayim, I'm going to open up the floodgates of heaven and I'm going to fill you with blessing ad bli day. It's going to go on forever and ever. And everyone, pasuk yud aleph, everyone that will try to destroy your crops, I will wipe them out. In other words, I will protect your sustenance. I will protect your economic success. V'yishru etchem kol agoyim, pasuk yud bet. And when all of the nations see startup nation, when they see the economic successes coming out of Israel, v'yishru etchem, what are they going to do? They're going to praise you. Ki tiyu atem eretz chayfetz, because your land is going to be an eretz chayfetz. What does chafetz mean? Your land is, they're going to desire your land. They're going to desire, they do desire our land. They do. This is mamish, the fulfillment of the prophecy. Right? We're returned to the land. There'll be economic success. And when there is, all the nations, all of a sudden, could you have predicted 70 years ago that Saudi Arabia and Persian country, Arab countries are going to be clamoring to do business with Israel? Right? The whole thing is on its head, that Russia would be helping. I mean, the whole thing is bizarre, right? You can never, it's like the stock market. You can't figure it out. And if you do, you're wrong. But this is the fulfillment. Chazku alai divrechem amarnai ve'amartem madin bru alecha. Again, now we come back. Pasuk Yadal. So there was like that interlude of cutting corners religiously to advance economically. And now you come back to the bulk, I would say. Amartem shav avod elihim. Pasuk yadal. It's a painful line. What do you say to yourselves? Shav avod elihim. What's shav? It's for nothing. We serve God for nothing. Uma betza kishamarnu mishmarto. What benefit did we get by serving Hashem? We didn't get any benefit. Ve'ata anachnu me'ashrim zedim. Gab nivnu osei risha gam bachanu elohim vimaleitu az nidmaru pasuk tezayin ad nidmaru yirei Adonai ishel reheu ve'yakshev Adonai. So Hashem says, listen to me. Despite the fact that you question my judgment, and despite the fact that you question why the wicked are prospering, listen up, says Hashem. Ve'yakshev Adonai ve'yishma ve'yikasev sefer zikaron lefanav. What does Hashem do? Hashem's taking notes the whole time. He listens and he writes down. In other words, even when we don't think Hashem is paying attention, Hashem's paying attention. He is noticing. He is listening. He is writing down. He's taking note because he's going to take revenge at a certain point. V'hayu li amar Adonai Tzvot le'yom asher ani oses gula. The day will come when I'm going to basically pay them back. V'chamalti alehem kashir yachmol ish al beno ha'oved otel. I will have mercy on you, Hashem says, the same way a father has mercy on a faithful child. So again, Hashem is reinforcing that. Don't think I've given up on you. The day will come. V'shavtem, you will return, pasuk 18. Uri'item bein sadik l'rashan. You'll see the difference between a tzaddik and a rasha, bein oved Elohim lasher lo avadu. You'll see what's going to happen, the difference between those who served me and those who didn't serve me. Ki hine hayom ba, this is the kind of the clincher. Again, we have five more psukim left in Malachi. This is it. The end of prophecy. What does Hashem say? Ki hine hayom ba bo'er ketanur. The day will come that will be like what? Like a burning oven. V'hayu kol zedim. Everyone who was wicked, v'chol osei risha, and everyone who rebelled against me, they will be like kash, straw. Don't try this at home. Put straw into a furnace. Vilihato sam hayom haba amar nitzvos asher lo yazov lahem shoresh v'anav. There'll be nothing left of them. They will be completely incinerated. V'zarcha lachem yireish mi shemesh tzdaka umarpei b'chnafeha v'yitzatem upishtem keaglei marbeik. You will be like the sun. Right? That, in other words, my glory will shine on you. Okay? In other words, you'll only benefit from the heat of that fire, but you will not be burned from that fire. Umarpei b'chnafeha. In other words, that light will be a refuah for you. It'll be a joy for you. It'll be a benefit from you. It won't be harmful like it was to the end, to those who defile me. Vasotem rishaim, you will trample the wicked. Ki yu efer tachas kapos ragleichem, they'll be like dust underneath your feet. Bayom asher ani oseh amar nitzvos, that day they will be like dust of your feet. That is Hashem's encouragement, reinforcement of the Jewish people and of their faith. And now, the final few psukim. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. The Navi says, remember the Torah of Moshe. Why start that way? Or why end that way? All the Mephoroshim say the same thing. What are we about to transition from? From prophecy to, we don't have prophecy nowadays, what do we have? What's the only piece of Hashem's playbook that we have nowadays? Torah. Torah is God's playbook. Hashem gave us it. He said, you want to know me? Here's my Torah. So all the Mephoroshim, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, says Ma'ari Kra, Amar Lehem Malach Li Yisrael. Listen, it's almost emotional. It really is. Malachi says to the Jewish people, Mikan Ve'elech, from now on, Lo Yiyu Lachem Nivi'im, you will no longer have prophets. Shemochichim atchem shebimei piska nevuam Yisrael. You'll never have a prophet again to tell you what to do. Aval zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. But what do you have? You have the Torah. Ubishvil kach tikra vageula. And through the Torah, that's how you will hasten the redemption. The Malbim says this similar. Zichru Toras Moshe bashir dvarav eilech chasam hanavi. This is how prophecy ended. V'hiya nevuah achrona. This is the final words of prophecy. She'acharav lo yinaveo navi v'choze ad ein kates. That is it. There will never be another prophet. And so what does he say? He says, I can't talk to you anymore. Rak zichru toras Moshe lasos kol ha'kasev bo v'hi torem es asher yasu. That's how you will be lifted up, is by remembering Hashem's Torah. So pasuk chavet. Again, I think it's an emotional end. Jewish people have been so reliant on nevuah, on prophecy, since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. And all of a sudden, it's about to end. Think about how that makes them feel. Again, that's the whole underpinning to this. They feel, no more prophecy. How are we going to survive? How are we going to have a relationship with Hashem anymore? Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi Asher Tzivisi Oso Bechorev Al Kol Yisrael Chukim Meshpatim. Hashem says, I gave you a book. I gave you a way to know me. And that's through Torah. We have on Rosh Hashanah three parts to our Shmoneh Esrei. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. What are all the Psukim of Shofro talk about? They talk about two things. The Shofar of the ultimate redemption. That's when we'll blow the Shofar. And the Shofar of Har Sinai. What do the two of them have to do with each other? What does redemption have to do with Har Sinai? It's God's revelation. That's how God revealed himself. He revealed himself at Har Sinai. He's going to reveal himself at the end of days. Shofar represents the fact that God revealed himself to the Jewish people. But what does it mean? That when he gave us the Torah, that's his form of revelation. When we study Torah nowadays, that is how God reveals himself to us. That's how we understand God's playbook. That's how we understand what he wants from us. That's all we have nowadays. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, very famous pasuk. Hine anochi sholeach lachem eis Eliyahu anavi lifnei bo yom Adonai hagadol ve'anara. God's going to send Eliyahu anavi. Ma'ari Kra says, she'igael eschem mimakom galuschem. He's going to bring you up from galus. And he says, v'kan mifarish. This explains the pasuk that we read earlier today of hine anochi sholeach malachi upanav. Right, that there was this angel and we didn't know who that angel was. Now we know who it is. So he's going to send Eliyahu. Eliyahu is going to bring the redemption. V'heishiv leiv avos albanim. V'leibanim al avosam. Malbim says that this is going to be the tshuva process. How is tshuva going to happen? That the banim are going to encourage their fathers to do tshuva. Right? He says, ad shehabanim shehudchu mitoras avosehem yashiv leiv. Where am I? Habanim al avosam lachzor al adas v'toras avosam. They're all going to encourage each other. Fathers are going to be pushing sons to learn. Sons are going to be pushing fathers to learn. Everyone's going to be pushing each other to learn. Pen avo v'kesiyas ha'aretz cheirim. Hashem says all of this tshuva is going to happen before I come. And what am I going to do to the world? What's cheirim? I'm going to destroy the world. Metzudas David says, that's why Eliyahu has to come first. This is why Eliyahu has to come before the end of days. What happens, Hashem says, if I reveal myself, if I bring the Geula, if I bring Mashiach, and you Jewish people haven't yet returned, what's going to happen when I do this process of Schar V'Onesh? Ekes kol yoshvei ha'aretz b'cheirim ve'avdon. I'm going to destroy all evil in the world. And if you're included in that evil, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be evil. And so Hashem says, I'm going to send Eliyahu first. And Eliyahu is going to start this mass tshuva movement. And all my people are going to come back to me. Lachein, and therefore, once that happens, right, he says, Lachein ha'shalach mikodem es Eliyahu la'ashivo sam elai. Lios nichonim lekabel hagamul hatov. Hashem says, I'm going to prepare you for Mashiach so that by the time I come, you're ready to accept the reward and you won't get caught up in the destruction. And that's why when we read this Haftorah, we don't end there, but we repeat the words, Hinei anochi sholeach lachem es Eliyahu HaNavi, because we don't want to end Haftorah on the words, V'kesi es kol aretz cheirem, that Hashem's going to destroy the world. That's not a great way to end prophecy. So we remind ourselves that no, that's for the rest of the world. But for us, what happens? Eliyahu is going to come, we're going to return, we're going to be rewarded handsomely. That is the end of prophecy. That's the end of prophecy. Let me just share one thought. We started off in the book of Ezra with this sense of imminence. If you recall all the way back, if you just read the first six chapters of Ezra and Nehemiah, if you read Haggai or Zechariah, there was a palpable sense that Mashiach, that the redemption, the Geula was imminent. Remember, Zerubbabel could have been Mashiach. That could have been it. Nations of the world were allowing us to come back to Israel, rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. There was an incitement, an enthusiasm, a fervor, a messianic fervor. When you finish the book of Malachi, which is really the conclusion of that whole subject, what do you get a sense of? Not of imminence. Not that the Mashiach, the redemption, is imminent, but rather waiting patiently, right? You get the sense that Hashem is building up our armor of emuna to say it's not going to happen today, it's not going to happen tomorrow, it's going to be a long and arduous and complicated exile, but keep the faith. Keep the faith, because ultimately, I'm going to return, you'll return to me, I'll return to you, and we will repair this relationship. So it's a, I don't know if you want to call it anticlimactic, climactic, whatever it is, but it really is the conclusion of what we started many months ago, where we went from this messianic fervor at the beginning of Ezra to really setting us in preparing us for this long and prolonged exile.